Okay, so I think we should go through, because even I don't know all of your fitness background, so I think it'd be cool to talk about, I guess, like, well, first, like, did you work out like in high school and stuff, or when did you start like working out?
Yeah, so I've kind of always been active. I think I started playing soccer when I was maybe in second grade. That was kind of my first sport that I
Okay.
played was soccer. I kind of kept that going all through elementary school and then middle school. I picked up basketball, which was not great.
Not very good at
No, no.
it.
No, see, I grew before all the other girls in my grade, so I was the post.
They thought you were going to be good.
Yeah, they thought I was like, oh, she's going to be great
Get
at
the
this position.
rebound,
No, I just got knocked around, got the shit beat out of me most of the time. Hated that. So then I did cross country for a little while, which is probably hilarious to you because you know that I hate to run.
yeah. Did you enjoy it then?
No, I didn't
You're
enjoy
just
it.
trying.
Yeah, I was just kind of trying different
And
stuff.
your school at that time had cross country?
Yeah.
Did you go to a big school?
No, I went to John Battle, so population probably like 600 students. I graduated with
Okay.
150, so not
Okay.
too big.
So I graduated with like 90.
Yeah, so yours was even smaller
Yeah.
than
We didn't
mine.
have cross country. We just had like football, basketball, baseball, like that's it. Did y'all have swimming?
No.
Okay.
No, not big enough for that.
Yeah, I guess cross country, like you can do anywhere,
Yeah.
really.
Well, and what was cool was my high school was close to the local park, Sugar Hollow, so we could get out of high school and then literally walk to the park, and they had all kinds of trails and stuff.
And run.
So we'd just run over there.
So after cross country, did you like soccer?
I love soccer, yeah.
Okay.
I actually wanted to go to college to play soccer.
Okay.
So my two main sports were soccer and volleyball, which is probably still funny to you because you know I hate to run, and you've also seen me jump, which is not very high.
You're good at running though, so like it surprised yourself.
Yeah, definitely. The sprint test definitely was surprising to me. But those were my two main sports, and I wanted to go to college to play soccer, but kind of decided against it once I was kind of touring schools and everything. And when I got to college, I realized that I really missed not having something to keep me active. So my college did group fitness classes, and a bunch of the girls that I lived with in my dorm were wanting to go to those classes, so I just went to them, with them just to have something to do. And it was fun. I loved it, and it was a really easy and good way for me to stay active, and it kind of replaced that team that I no longer had, if that makes sense.
Right.
So
What kind of workouts did y'all do there? Was it strength or was it like?
No, they were kind of just getting the group fitness started, so it was only Zumba at the time,
Okay.
which I loved because,
Oh, then like Zumba was like
oh,
huge.
huge.
Yeah.
Yes, like it was just hitting its peak at that
Yeah.
time. And the girl that taught the classes, Tyler, she talked me into getting certified for Zumba. And
And that's where the video's from.
Yes, that is where the videos come from. I have more, but they're like locked away, never to be seen again. But it was just kind of, I don't know, you told me what we were going to be talking about, and I've kind of been trying to think about how I wanted to start it because I kind of tell people that I stumbled my way to kind of where I am right now because when I went to college, I had this like path set out for me that I wanted to go on, and fitness was just kind of something I did because, I knew I had to stay active and it made me feel good, so that's just kind of what I did. But then it kind of started to turn into something a little bit more because, you and I talk about confidence a lot. People come to the gym to try to find confidence, and that's kind of what I was trying to do with fitness because in high school and in college, even I had no self-esteem, no confidence whatsoever. Yeah, it's still funny to my parents that I do this now, and probably even funny to people like that knew me in high school.
They're like, wait, what?
Because,
what did she do?
Yeah, because I was very shy. I hated to get in front of people and do presentations. Like, I had major anxiety whenever I had to do presentations of any kind, and even just public speaking in front of people. I still to this day don't really like
public speaking.
Public speaking or attention on me.
Right.
Which is ridiculous because
you do group.
I do group classes. But I would watch people that taught group fitness like Zumba or, and it eventually led into strength classes, which is kind of how I segued into that. But I would watch the instructors that led those classes and I was really captivated by their confidence that they had. And I looked at them and I was like, I don't know how they did that, but I want that.
Watching like a good instructor, it's like poetry.
It is.
It's like,
it is.
It's amazing. Because it looks effortless. And you know, there's people that would probably watch you now and they're like, she just did that so easy.
Oh, it doesn't. Definitely didn't come easy.
Right. It's been a long, I can remember the first class that I ever led and just how, like, I guess small I felt and how. Fast, it felt like everything was going. Like, it just felt like everything was fast. I was, my brain was spinning, and it was like, you really just had have to, like, over time, as you do more, like, you start to slow down, and you, like, it don't feel as awkward.
Yes.
And you just feel like, I don't know. I can't really describe that feeling of that first, like, week or two or three or four of, like, leading class, but it is, like, rocky.
It is
it's
very
weird.
Rocky and weird, and it was even weirder because
so you went straight to Zumba first.
Yes, Zumba was my first thing. First
Listen,
love.
I feel like this, you need less confidence than you need for like
I
Zumba.
Know, I'm telling you, this shit is backwards. Like, I started with probably the thing that people are the most uncomfortable doing,
like
dancing.
Dancing in front of people.
And I got up in front of people and I danced and I led them dancing. So, and I can't dance either. So it's like, but.
That's awesome.
That's where it all started. That was my first love. And I still love it. Like, I would go to a Zumba class and have a blast now. I just don't really have any interest in teaching it anymore. But, yeah, it was crazy because I was also getting up in front of my peers, you know, like people that I would see around campus and, like, people that lived in the dorm or lived beside me. And I would see them every day, and it was just – the Zumba definitely helped me build my confidence, but kind of like you were saying, your first one, I still remember my first one, and I got up there, and I just faked it till I made it.
Yeah.
I was so nervous, but...
Were you, so even then, you like, your first class, so I remember my first one, it's like, I was, like, working out beside these people, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm up front. And it's almost like I had a conversation with Brad Weems, and it was like the question of, like, how do you get over the imposter syndrome of, like, you know, like, posting on social media for me. And it was like, you know, just going through that. And it's like, I can remember feeling that way. I don't think I felt that way as much, like, posting on social media. But I can remember, like, my first few classes, like, just feeling judged, even if they, like, supported me. You know,
so much.
Everyone was very supportive, as I can remember anyway, like, during those first month that I was trying to learn to lead class. But, like, I just remember just feeling judged from the before I even spoke.
All eyes are on you at that point.
It's weird.
It's so weird, yes. But it's, I mean, I literally just faked it till I made it. I mean.
And now you don't really even think about it.
No.
Like, you just know what the workout is, and it's just like, you just, it's easy. It's
well, in a... My friends in college would always kind of joke with me and be like, you have this, like, alter ego that you get into when you get up in front of people. Yeah, it is kind of like, it is very different leading class versus being one-on-one with a client or, like, sitting here with you talking.
Or sitting at home.
Or sitting at home being silent, which is most of the time what I need after I've coached a class. Because, I mean, you know, I'm pretty introverted, so, like, I have to recharge after a while, for sure.
Okay, so you did Zumba, and you were still in college when you were doing that?
I did Zumba all through college, yeah, starting. So I was a participant of Zumba my freshman year, and then I got certified to teach Zumba, and I taught it sophomore through my senior year.
Were you doing that, like, on campus, or was mm-hmm. there, like, a facility off campus?
Nope, it was all on campus. The school, kind of like the rec center, you know.
What school did you go to?
Roanoke College.
Roanoke College.
In
is it a
Salem, Virginia.
Is that a university or a...
No, it's a small college.
It's not community college, though. It's
private.
4-year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, not community.
So then, what did you study?
I started environmental science was okay. my first declared major. Let me back up. I went to college planning to be a teacher.
Oh, wow.
And then I got put into an elementary school with kindergartners, and I was like, this is not for me.
Yeah, that I couldn't see that.
Right? It's so, like I said, I'm just stumbling my way through life here, Josh. But, yeah, I went for teaching. But I now look back, and I did want to teach. It just wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
This was what I wanted to teach.
Right.
So then my official declared major first was environmental science. And then I decided to pick up late in my sophomore year a biology major as well. And so I was a double major.
Okay. So what in that field, like, tell me something that is, like, a part of that field?
Environmental science or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, environmental science. Is like, what was there, even in environmental science, you know, there's, like, different pockets of that. So, like, did you have, like, something about the environmental sciences that interest you?
Yeah, so conservation biology, which is why I picked up a biology major.
Okay. And mm-hmm. so when you graduated, so then what, like, did you pursue, like, a job in that? Did you do an intern?
I did, actually. So after I graduated, I got a paid internship with Cornell University in New York at their Geneva station, their agricultural center.
Mm-hmm.
And I did research up there on the ambrosia beetle, actually, in apple orchards. So there's this beetle that's basically, it's an invasive species, and it's killing all of the apple crops
yeah.
up there, because that's like a big crop up in upstate New York.
Where'd the beetle come from? Do you remember?
Japan, I think. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
I cannot remember. I did a whole project on it, but it's been so long ago now. Basically, it bores into the trunk of the tree, and it just kills the tree from the inside out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a lot of money lost up there,
because
it's like a big crop. So they were trying to figure out how to mitigate that. And I did a lot of field work. I was in a lab a lot of the time. And, I mean, you know me, I like to get up and move around, and it just was not.
Right.
I found out very quickly that it was not for me. I will never regret that, because that was, like, the most fun summer I've ever had.
Being out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was up, like, in the Finger Lake region. Have you ever been up there?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh, so pretty.
Yeah, I've heard it's really pretty. The invasive species problem is, like, I never really paid attention to it
mm-hmm.
until I... listened to a podcast that talked about the axis deer that are invasive
yeah.
in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so they're just like, there's no predators for that species, so they just run, like, rampant.
Yes.
So it's wild, like, that whole thing. Just, I mean, there's so much of that.
Yeah. Well, and that was actually what I was most interested in, was invasive species and,
yeah.
like, how, you to know,
like
just ecosystems
them.
And
yeah.
how they work together. And that was very... interesting to me.
Yeah, because it can just change how, like, plants grow, and, like, how, like, there's just so many factors that it can
mm-hmm.
change.
For sure.
So that's really interesting. So then you come back that summer. Were you still, like, on fire for that, or were you like, okay, I don't like this, like, lab thing?
Yeah, I came back home that summer, and I kind of hit a little bit of an existential crisis, because I was like, okay, I just spent 4 years pursuing this thing,
mm-hmm.
obviously spent a lot of money, because it was a college, 4-year college. Now what am I going to do, you know?
Right.
And I still had my Zumba certification, and I had also in college picked up an Insanity certification through Beachbody.
Was that a DVD fitness?
It was.
No, I was thinking P90X.
No,
so
that's Insanity, the same.
It's the same?
Well, okay. They're different, but it's the same. They're both Beachbody programs.
Okay.
Which was also big at the same time that Zumba was big. So
P90X, like, was everybody was doing
that. Oh, yeah. Everybody was doing that. And I had, like, a little weightlifting certification, too. Just this, it was, have you heard of RIP? Do you know what RIP is? Or
I
body
have
pump?
Heard that. Yeah.
Body pump is? Okay. So it was body pump. But, yeah, I came home and I was like, okay, well, now what am I going to do? And I was like, well, I still really enjoy group fitness, so I'm just going to, on the side, get a job at the Y, you know. So I applied at the Y and taught some RIP classes, which is similar to body pump, and subbed Zumba every now and then. And I also started at another local gym as well.
Now, did you, so whenever you came back, is a job in that field hard to, because it's all, like, the funding of, like, some of those things are weird. So mm-hmm. Is it hard to get a job in that?
It is, yeah. It's hard to get a job, and if I wanted to pursue it, I would have had to move somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot around here for environmental science or biology, yeah.
Right.
Which, at the time, Dalton had gotten a new job, and it was a really good job, and we didn't want to
move.
You
met Dalton, you went to high school with Dalton?
Yeah, we both went to high school together.
So, did y'all go to the same college?
No.
He didn't go to college?
No.
That's awesome.
We spent 4 years long distance.
Yeah, I love that. And then, he didn't go with you to New York?
No, he did not.
Okay. So then he got the jobs at the same job that he has now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And then, so, you already acquired, like, 5 certifications at this point?
Three
certifications. And then, so what's, like, next after that? You were working at 2 gyms, doing Zumba and the RIP at one, and then the other one you were doing, were you teaching classes at the other one?
I was teaching classes, and then it similar to the Y, it was Zumba, body pump, and it also was doing Insanity. And it's funny because the Y and then the other gym that I was at, the populations were like night and day. So it was like the Y population were, you know, our age and maybe a little bit older. But at the other gym I was at, it was all like mostly 45 and up.
Okay.
So I went from teaching, you know, 18 to 22 year olds to now 45 to 80 year olds.
That have all these pre-existing.
Yes, that had, you know, all these injuries and joint problems and all this stuff that I didn't know how to deal with. And I was telling these 80-year-olds, okay, we're going to go down and do a burpee, you know, and they couldn't get up and down off the floor. So that kind of segued into me being like, okay, well, I have to figure out how to make this work for this population. So I went and got another certification, just building my education base, basically. But yeah. I was at the gym.
So then you, what certification did you get for them? Was it like a?
It was through, I got my group fitness one, just the basic one, through American Council on Exercise, ACE.
Okay.
And then I also got a senior fitness
through
certification
ACE.
Through ACE as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did your, so, okay. And then how long were you at the Y about?
I was at the Y for, I think a year to 2 years, but then at the other gym, I actually got offered the position of group fitness manager.
Okay.
So I took that role on, and I was basically remotely managing the instructors and the classes. So I was more like a logistics person. I wasn't really on site. I was just scheduling the classes.
Just making sure everything's filled.
Making sure it's filled, teaching classes myself, and I eventually stopped teaching at the Y just because it kind of became too much.
Mm-hmm.
But
so then you also like helped create like a fitness thing, and you also, so you were going to different gyms. So you just help me piece this in. So you started going to another gym as well, which is where Dalton's best friend is at. 10X. So you worked out at 10X some.
Yeah.
When did that start? So where's the gap here of like that?
I told you I'm stumbling through.
No, yeah, right. You're just finding things.
Yes. So I picked up that role at that gym, and then one of my friends there, Kayla, she was like, hey, I just started going to this CrossFit gym in Gate City, and do you want to come with me? You want to go? And I was like, sure, I'll try. I've never done CrossFit. I didn't know what it was. This was in 2016, so I'm not really sure when it got big.
CrossFit?
Yeah.
I guess 2016.
Probably around.
I'm like, I was late in the CrossFit,
well,
too. So I'm
I feel
not
like I was, too.
Yeah.
So
2016, I guess, to me, I guess I started in like 2018. So I guess 2014 to 2016 is like when people said it was big. I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like it was really big at that time, but I could be wrong. But I went with her to one class, and I was instantly hooked on that. Mm-hmm. I was fucking snorting
like,
the Kool-Aid.
This is the workout.
Yeah.
It's the one.
Yes. Like, hey, I just loved it. I loved how hard it was. I loved the weight aspect of it, just because mm-hmm. I love to lift weights anyways. And I went there for probably 2.5 years, a little over 2 years at least.
Okay.
And I was still at the other gym too, so.
And you never really taught, you were just a customer.
Yeah, just a customer. Nope, okay. I was just going, taking classes, just a customer at the CrossFit, and then teaching classes at the gym here in Kingsport, just Zumba, like a weightlifting class. And then I also kind of took on building up this other class over there that's kind of similar to what we do in here, mm-hmm. or at least I was trying to make it into that.
Mm-hmm.
I built that class up from, like, consistently getting 5 people to consistently getting 20 to 25 people.
That's
good. So that was something that I really held close to me, and I loved those members there. But I was not very smart at the time, and I was doing 6 days a week of CrossFit on top of teaching, like, 2 to 4 group fitness classes a day.
Right.
So you can imagine
getting
how
tired
my body responded to that.
Yes. So then, so you have that. So you went there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that you got your USAW weightlifting certification at some point. When did that interest you?
So being in the CrossFit space, I suddenly found myself being surrounded by people that were like in the Zumba and Beachbody space mm-hmm. to now being surrounded by people in the CrossFit space.
Yeah.
So like athletes like, you know, Sarah Sigmund's daughter or Tia Claire Toomey.
Right, people that you're looking up to.
Yes. These women that I'm looking at, and I'm like, it's kind of like going back to the group fitness thing. I was looking at those instructors and I was like, I want to do that. I don't know how they did it, but I'm going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same
with these.
That
the faces
of
that.
Yes, I was like, I don't know how they look like that, but I want to figure it out and I'm going to do it.
Right.
And so I obviously had a really big interest in the lifts. I just really liked the mechanical, you know, like the technique of it,
because
they're so complex.
Yes.
And I just wanted to learn more about it. I like to learn, so it was just.
So you just
like,
took it just for information?
Yeah, I just took it just to further my education, and especially because with the population of that one class I was working with, it was kind of similar in age group to what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, this could be a fun offering to offer them if I did want to at the gym I was working at.
Did you get into doing like barbell type stuff at that, in that fitness?
We did. We were pretty limited on space and equipment though, mm-hmm. so I definitely couldn't take it to the scale like what we do here.
Right. The logistics of it.
Yeah.
So then you have, so when does, what happens in between there? Did you get any other certifications after USAW?
Oh yeah, I got like a core training
You did specialist. TRX at some point?
I did TRX at one point. I did, I actually did a very basic yoga certification. Not because I really had a huge interest in it, but because it was a necessary thing for the gym I was at. We were just limited on yoga instructors, and I just needed to get it in case I needed to fill in. And yeah, I have so many I can't even remember now.
I do. Down through all
I do need a list. It was just like I just had a genuine interest in it, and I just was trying to further my education as much as I possibly could.
Just like a student of fitness. I remember whenever you first were coming over here, I remember telling Rachel, you're like the most certified person in the building, including myself, just being a student. So that's really cool. Is Adam leaving? See ya.
Bye, Adam.
So I think that's really cool. And you know, you've been teaching fitness longer than I have. So, you know, let's back up a little bit. When does Foundation come into this? I guess we're close now.
We're getting close. So at the gym I was working at, I was still group fitness manager, but then I also took on the role of front desk manager. And I found that, you know, that space didn't really hold the same values that I did. They weren't really forward thinking like I was on some things, and it was just, I needed a place to work out because I was so stressed. I was like, I'm stressed. I can't even, exercise is my stress relief, but I can't even come into this building and exercise for stress relief.
Get your brain off of it.
Exactly, because it was where I worked. Mm-hmm. So I just couldn't separate. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go to a new atmosphere and take a class. I wanted to go somewhere where I didn't know anyone.
Right, just blend in.
Yeah, and I didn't know anyone here. So I was like, okay, perfect, sign up for a class. And I walked in and took a class, and I met you and Rachel, which we had met before, right?
Yeah. So
or was
we,
that after?
I think, well, somehow I got invited to Jacob, Anna, your sister, Jacob is her husband. Jacob invited me to, maybe it was like a Christmas, because I know it was cold. It was like Christmas or Thanksgiving, like, I don't know. Maybe it was none of that. Maybe it was just like a thing that they were doing. And I think, is that the first time that we met? Was that that? Okay. Because I remember you came in, so we were all dressed up, like, you know, nice or whatever.
You came in
workout clothes.
Yeah.
So everyone was just eating and drinking, like, whatever. You were very particular about the foods that you chose, and then, like, the drink that you had. I think you had, like...
I'm pretty sure I had a Fit-Aid.
You had a Fit-Aid or something. And, yeah, I remember that, and I think, like, we had to leave early. I think you ended up leaving early. So for some reason, like, in the midst of that, at some point, I remember telling Rachel, because you had come here, I met you in that fashion, and I remember telling Rachel, like, there's something that I really love about her. I was like, I would love for her to be on the staff because there's just something that she's sticking with from, like, a values perspective. I was like, just the choice of food, her, you know, your personality, demeanor, all that. Like, there was just a lot there that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was the first time we met, and then you took a class, or maybe you took a class and that happened. I don't really remember exactly.
The chronological order.
Yeah.
But I do remember I had just worked out before that dinner party, and my sister was like, make sure you dress up. And I was like, I won't be.
Right. Dressed up all right.
Yeah. But yeah, I took class and it was great. I mean, the members were so nice. They didn't know me from Adam, but they were still welcoming me. And then I think Rachel might have reached back out to me and been like, hey, or maybe I took another class. Oh my gosh, it's been so long. It feels like just yesterday, but
yeah,
it's been so long ago.
I don't recall either. I don't know if Rachel sent a message or what it was. I remember it just being something that, like, one of us delivered the information that was like, hey, like, if you ever wanted to come on here, like, let us know or something like that. I don't remember what it was. And then I guess, I don't know if you started on here right before COVID or right during or, like, what that was. But it was...
I came on, so it was pre... I do remember the classes I took were pre-COVID, and then... the lockdown happened, and y'all did my interview during, like, the very first couple days of the lockdown, because I came in here and no one was here.
Yeah.
Gym was closed.
That's crazy.
And I started, I still remember my first start date was the 4th of May, because that's, this is a Star Wars reference, May the 4th be with you, but that's how I can remember
like
the
perfect.
Date.
This is the place. They're starting me on this day, this is it.
Yes, that was my first, like, shadow, day to shadow you, and, but that was still, before that we were closed.
Mm-hmm. So then, we opened back up, and that's 2020. We go through a full year. I guess it was just Adam wasn't here yet. The only people on the staff that were here, I guess, were just me and Rachel. And that was the year that we came on as owners.
Yep.
With a partner in 2020. And then 2021, we became the full owners. And then through 2021, we started really looking at what we were doing. So I guess, like, at what point did you feel like what we were doing wasn't what needed to be done? You know, because I guess I would have to think about those points, but was there like a point for you that you were like, okay, like, I'm not really like enjoying this thing, or I don't think that like this is, you know, the most effective route to take as we, like, you know, people are aging and, mm-hmm. you know, as people, you know, whenever you're young, you can do a lot more than you can do when you're older. But if you're really calculated when you're young, then you can do these things for longer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember, like, the point that you...
I mean, for class in here, right?
Yeah.
Or, I think I do remember it was definitely early on, just because... And I also kind of had a different outlook, I think, because I came in not having ever coached movements like toes to bar.
Or
like a kipping pull-up, mm-hmm. or a muscle-up. So that was kind of things that definitely put me out of my comfort zone right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just watching some members that you knew should not be doing kipping
right.
pull-ups, trying to do kipping pull-ups. And, you know,
they're like this after every...
Yeah, and then they come to you and you're like, you know, my shoulder's really bothering me. And I'm like, well...
It's like mobility limitation.
Yeah, and but then you have the problem is you have that, and we've talked about this before, they have other people in the class that they're trying to keep up with, because
mm-hmm.
there's that competition side of it. And then, you know, the clock as well. So it's just like a recipe for something to go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, well, I have a lot of thoughts on that. We'll save that for another.
Gonna go down the rabbit
hole.
Yeah,
we're not gonna do that today. So I remember, so it's 2022 is when we started Build Power Grind.
Yes, officially, yeah.
So I remember in 2021, at some point in like October, coming to you after you had taught a class,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I like hate what we're doing. Like, I am so unhappy with what we're doing. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember your first response was like, was it me? Like, did I do something?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's not you. Like, I, like, the product that we're delivering is like, I don't like it. I don't know what we're going to do, but what we're doing now, it ain't it. And so I just remember me and Rachel were traveling. We were trying as many different group fitness modalities that we could, every concept that we could do while we were traveling. We were researching, you know, watching videos, listening to people talk about different types of fitness. And I remember just having, like, talks with you about, you know, we're going to do this thing. We're going to start taking things out. And it's just these conversations back and forth about this thing. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember telling you that I needed you to do more programming because you came from a different angle than I did. I was coming from this like competitive sense of CrossFit because those were the type of people that I was working out with at the time. And it was just kind of like what I knew. You know, I started CrossFit and that was like the friend group that I got into. And so I went down that rabbit hole and it was all I knew. And there was a point where I was like, and Rachel was the same way, that's like, I'll never do anything other than CrossFit. Like, this is the way, it's the most effective thing to do. And like, frankly, anyone that doesn't do it is dumb and they're wasting their time. And I remember just having that stone cold like feeling about that. So I remember in that coming to you and saying, I need you to program more because you you're coming from a different side of fitness. Do you remember me saying that?
I do remember that, yeah.
And I remember like looking at the way you were writing workouts and they were, even now today, whenever we're writing Build Power Grind and I see one of the workouts you've written, it's just, it's so distinctly different than things that you would see. And I loved that. And I think that a lot of like the way you were writing workouts helped formulate what now is Build Power Grind. You like you said, a lot of what you were doing at the time at the other place, you were bringing that brain that you had, the brain that you were using to, you know, make this thing, you brought over here and we built Build Power Grind. So I think it's always important to tell people like Build Power Grind isn't like mine and Rachel's thing. Like Abby had a huge part in this and creating this, and it wouldn't have been created and made what it is now without your brain being put into that as well. So then we get to 2022 and we're in Build Power Grind, which is where we're at now. And we've continued to evolve. I guess what's your perspective on that shift, and what is, like, what have you seen from like the Build Power Grind, even from like the customer base to just in general, like what have you seen and liked from that shift?
Well, I think, and we've definitely talked about this too, just the lack of, you know, aches and pains that our members have, and even myself, like I've been on both ends of the spectrum where I was not doing any kind of exercise and also doing way, way, way too much exercise. So I know what my body felt like here and I know what it felt like here. And being here in the middle where it's just very nice and balanced and you have different movements that are balanced, you know, like when we're doing strict press, we're also going to do a pull, you know, just like basic programming principles. You just feel so much better, you know, like even today, doing today's workout, I was in there and I was like, I just feel so strong because I'm not beating myself into the ground.
Yes.
And it's just, I don't know, it's amazing. I love our product.
Me too. I'm really happy with it. Yeah, I'm really happy with it. And I think that like, you know, we're continuing to develop that product, you know, just leaning more and more into those days. You know, I remember, the funny thing is, I remember whenever we were doing this Build Power Grind thing and like we were like, you know, we're gonna build this thing and like we're gonna have shirts that just say build and people are going to buy them. Like Build Power Grind is going to be a part of the terminology. Like people are going to say like, I love build day, I love grind day, or God, I hate power days. And it's like, I remember saying like, whenever we get there, then we're on to something. And it's like now, like that's just part of it. So it's really fulfilling. You know, we know that we still have like a long way to go before we get to where we want to be. And even when we get there in our brains, there'll be it's a moving target. But it is really fulfilling to kind of hear some of our lexicon being used, and those things coming coming to life.
Yeah. What I love too about Build Power Grind is that there's things in there that people in other gym spaces don't think to do because it's not sexy.
Right.
And it's not, it's boring, you know. Mm-hmm. An example is tibialis raises.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, it's a boring exercise to do, but I guarantee that our members will not have any kind of shin splints when they run,
right,
or their knees are a lot stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the little things like that that we add in there that are just so beneficial that nobody else does because they're too afraid of what their image is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is weird, and it's like a well-rounded thing. You know, it's like the whole conversation that we had, it was like, I want to do hip thrusts in class. And it's like, why are we not doing those?
I was like,
we're doing glute bridges. Yeah, it's like, hell yeah, let's do it. So it's like, you know, we adjust the logistics.
Which is like one of the best posterior chain exercises that nobody else.
Group fitness doesn't really do it that much.
Yeah, group fitness doesn't do it.
And even like the single leg stuff that we do that requires like balance.
Yeah. Well, and even today we had the landmine split squats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the way that weight is distributed, my core was on fire, in addition to my quad and, you know, glute and hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just those little sneaky exercises in there.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think that's like the big thing with Build Power Grind for me, because and a lot of it's like really simple. It's like you said, it's the not sexy stuff, and it's really simple. But to me, and the way that we believe is that these things are going to help our people, our members, stay healthy,
mm-hmm,
and be able to do the things that they want to do. You know, the Build Power Grind, like we do 70, 80, 90 percent, and it's like we intentionally don't do 100% in here, because that's like reserved for like whatever your game day is, if that's golf, if that's whatever it is. You know, I think that that's important. It's basketball or whatever. So, you know, coming in and going 100% every day is something that I used to do. And, you know, at a certain point it broke me.
Right.
And,
well,
you know,
and it's like, maybe if someone would have had that, or said that to you sooner, that you need this balance.
Right.
You know, you would, maybe your back injury would have never happened.
Right. It's interesting, because I can remember like the psychology around those things, and it was almost just like this thing of like, don't be a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the whole thing. And it's like, well, I was actually being like an ignorant bitch, because it was like, what I was doing was just dumb. It was blind, like it was blind. And I think that that type of training that I was doing is, frankly, reserved for like novice workout and uneducated people around fitness. And that was me. Like, I was uneducated around, you know, like what I needed to be doing for my body. Instead, mm-hmm, you know, I'm doing these things that, you know, these people are doing over here, but it's like, I didn't really need that.
Right.
And
I wish that was something that was very clear in the fitness industry for the consumer, because mm-hmm, there is a vast difference between an athlete and just like an everyday person in the,
yes,
training that they need. They're just so night and day.
Yes.
But people look at this athlete and they're like, oh, well, I need to do what they're doing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting because exercise is a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I almost think for, I believe that for the everyday person that like exercising shouldn't be your sport. I think that like, if you want to have like a sport, then I think that it should be something that's separate than your workout. So that you're able to, you know, truly work out to, you know, better yourself versus turning your workout into a sport every day that you go in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like a thought that I've been working through. It's just, I think that like, if you go and play basketball, it's like your workout should supplement your sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think your workout should be your sport. So it's like you play basketball, your workout should help you play basketball and not hurt you and make you not be able to play basketball or throw a baseball because you were doing some movement that injured your shoulder. And, you know, I didn't always have that view, and it took me going and looking at, you know, taking class at 15 different models that were just totally different than anything I'd ever done, and then, you know, doing research on 30 to 40 different gyms and models and going and just, you know, even touring, not even taking classes, and you know, it just took me understanding that this one thing that I thought was everything is not.
Right.
And it's not that it's bad either.
Right.
That's
you want to be an athlete, that's fine.
Right.
But understand what comes with that.
Yes. And I think that's important for me to say, because sometimes I can, I guess, come off as like the person that bashes that. I'm not really bash. I'll poke fun at it. You know, I have friends that own CrossFit gyms. I respect them. Mm-hmm. And I think that the product that they deliver is good. I think that one thing that's important is just like people just try different stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, you've tried so many different things.
I think that was what was so beneficial for me because I've bounced all over the place. I mean, Zumba, spin, yoga, you know, weight classes in a group fitness like room, not necessarily like what we do here, but with smaller weights and also CrossFit, you know, I've kind of been all over the place and with all kinds of different populations, which has been a huge help for me.
It's helped us too, that you have that background.
Well, and I would just come across people, you know, like in class, hey, this is really hurting my knee, like what do I do? I would go home and be like, okay, how do I help this person, like, be able to do a lunge?
Yes.
You know, okay, like, maybe they should do deadlifts for a while. So that's kind of how I figured out and learned and taught myself, basically.
Right. Continuing education, just research,
just keep educating. Every time something would come into class, you know, hey, I can't get down and do this burpee. What's another alternative?
Mm-hmm.
I'd go home, okay, what are some alternatives? You know.
Try to figure it out.
Yeah, yep. Just figure it out.
That's it. Just watching videos. The next thing that I do want to say, and I think you'll think this is funny too, is that whenever I was, if I was to take myself 5 years ago when I started CrossFit, I would look at what we're doing and I would say it's like frou-frou boot camp, and I don't do that bullshit. And it's so funny that I had that thought. But anyone that had seen different modes would say, like, no, like, this is this.
Yes.
It's just different. So I think that that's, like, a funny thought that I have is, like, thinking back to myself whenever I was doing more extreme types of fitness. And then now, because now it's, like, I see some of the people working out in here, and they're, like, savages. Like, Will is an absolute savage.
Yes.
You know, like, some of the girls in here, like Lacey, is a savage. She did like 300 pounds on hip thrusts.
Oh, I know.
You know, like Heather is a savage.
Heather on that sled back there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's always a funny thing. I was talking to Rachel about that, just how I would view those things.
Well, there was a part of me too at one time where I would walk in and be like, oh, that's cute. That's what you're doing. That's cute.
Right. 100%. You know? And so I've had that thought, and I've been talking to Rachel about that. It's just like I had a very like narrow view of fitness, and that's why I say like I think everyone like whatever you do, you should try something else. It's like, you know, Orange Theory's here in Tri-Cities. It's like if you live in the Tri-Cities, like you should go try Orange Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not saying go there to like, you know, cheat on your gym if that's like what you believe, but it's like I want my members to go to Orange Theory and just like see what it is. I want you to go take spin. I want you to go to yoga. I want you to try these different things, because you might find that things end up helping you see progress, or just help you feel better. And I think that just in general, you know, just how the fitness market's going, like we talk about this often, but consumers are just becoming more of like the class pass thing.
Yeah.
It'll eventually be here. You know, you sign up with class pass and then you have access to 10 different gyms.
Yeah.
You know, we have people here that have Orange Theory memberships. We have people that go here that go to yoga.
Yep.
We have people here that have memberships at...
And we want them
to do that. We want them to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be your everything. Right. If we are, great. We're mm-hmm. going to service you and we're going to, you know, deliver what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually got a paper sent to me. I forgot who published it, but it was like... a research paper, I'll try to link it in, but it was basically saying that like NBA players that played multiple sports in high school saw less injury than people that only played basketball.
Yeah.
And it's because they're just doing this repetitive, the same cut, same shot,
mm-hmm.
the same, it's like baseball, the same throw. But these kids that in high school, they played these different sports and moved their body
in different ways. Yeah.
Had lower risk of injury. And mm-hmm. I think that is what the build power grind. It's like the whole thing on the lateral movements that we started adding
yeah.
in. We never did anything lateral. You know, even like shuttle runs weren't really, like I think that shuttle runs are becoming more popular in fitness. We weren't doing that. We weren't cutting. We weren't jumping laterally. We weren't, you know, doing any kind of rotational stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, someone telling me like, you want to be careful with these lateral movements, like, you know, you'll have some ACL things. It's like, okay, that's true. Well, yeah, you should maybe stop doing them. It's like, no, we should train them more.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because these are movements that you're actually going to move awkwardly.
Yeah.
You know, the perfect deadlift isn't how you actually pick something up. It's like you have like this weird way mm-hmm. of bending. So it's like the suitcase deadlift is more often the way that you're going to pick
yep.
something up. So I think that
if the tissue has seen that direction before and felt that load before, it's less likely to
yes.
cause an injury.
100%. So yeah, I think that people should try different things.
Well, and that's something that as a trainer of Build Power Grind, it's been so fun to watch the members. You know, when we first started it officially this year, we were throwing these like lateral movements at them, these rotational movements at them, mm-hmm. like we threw the quad in there and they're doing these single leg hops and they're like all fucked up, you know.
Right.
And, but it's been fun to watch them, you know, at the beginning, and now we're at the end of the year, we're phase four, almost at the end of phase
yeah.
four, right? 9 weeks in?
Mm-hmm.
Are we on week 9? And just their progression from then, I mean, now
They're crushing it.
Yeah, they're crushing it. Like, they're doing these lateral movements perfectly. And even walking backwards was an interesting one. Like, remember the first time
mm-hmm.
we had them walk backwards?
Yeah.
They were like, what? I don't know.
Yeah, like the farmer carry.
Yes.
Overhead carry. Yeah, now they...
Now they choose to walk backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, that's been so fun. And the tempos. Oh.
That's my favorite.
That still gives me chills.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I just love it.
The tempos in the middle of, like, conditioning pieces was something that we had to do.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, how do you, you know, because the one thing was like, we were just trying to take out the whole like race mentality around conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Because all conditioning, it's like all conditioning. I've been to different models, and like, even if you go to, I can remember being at like a F45 or an Orange Theory, and it was like, even there, like, people had like this race mentality.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of human nature.
It is.
We can't help it.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. What I wanted to do, though, was like change the way that people race
mm-hmm.
and make it more beneficial. So it's like whenever we're doing these strict pull-ups, and it's like you have 5 strict pull-ups, and on the last one you're doing a max effort negative. Well, it's like, now it's not about like who gets back to
yeah.
a rower or whatever first. It's like, actually, if you get there last, like
yeah.
you're actually the savage. Like,
yes.
You just literally did a 1 minute pull up. Like, that's legit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really cool thing to kind of change the way that people look at workouts, and then just, you know, helping people see like, hey, this part of the workout is a weakness of yours that you let me know is a weakness. So let's really focus on this thing and not worry about what everybody else is doing. So right. If you get here, like, let's make sure that we're completing this task in this fashion. Mm-hmm. And not worry about, you know, if it takes you a little longer or if it's a little bit quicker or whatever it is.
Well, and Build Power Grind, I feel like, has really helped our members take ownership of their own fitness. Mm-hmm. Because now they know, you know, like, for instance, before Build Power Grind, you know, we would have the workout on the board and they'd be like, okay, well, what weight do I use?
Right.
You know, or how fast do I go or whatever. But now,
let me see what somebody else did.
Yeah, let me go on fucking Sugar Wise and see what such and such did. And it's like, now they just know. They're like, okay, I know this is the weight I did last week. We're doing the same rep, but a longer hold, or the same reps, longer hold. I'm going to do this weight this week, you know?
Yes.
And it's just, that's been really cool to see too, is them just taking ownership of their fitness and not worrying about what anybody else is doing.
Right.
Like, nobody cares.
So that brings up Sugar Wad. I did want to mention that. So we had Sugar Wad through COVID. We got rid of it at the end of 2020 or 2021, something like it. I mean, it was like a big deal.
It was a big deal.
I was like, geez, like, I didn't realize that, like.
I remember, like, you, Rachel, and I were like, geez, I didn't think this was, because, you know, when we first brought it up, we were like, yeah, it's fine. Like, we'll get rid of it. And then, oh my gosh, it was like.
It was crazy.
Crazy.
It was the best thing we ever
did.
It was. So I can remember being like the person. And I think that a lot of what the changes that we were making were like ways that I was changing my thinking and challenging the way that I think, and then looking at like these toxic traits that these toxic behaviors that come from certain things. Mm-hmm. And so I remember like a toxic behavior that I had was like, you know, screenshotting. You know, somebody's workout, or like getting a screenshot from somebody, and there's no fucking way he did that. And it's like, it doesn't really actually matter. You know, you have people like leaving the gym mad because they didn't beat, you know, Tammy from the 5 a.m. class.
Right.
She got three more reps, and they're like, they came here and did something that, like, you know, most of the population can't even do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and you accomplish things that are great, and, you know, you're here to make yourself feel better, and now you're leaving the gym like
feeling
mad
worse.
Because what someone else did.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of factors there that can't really be controlled. For instance, Steven's a really tall guy.
Right.
Really powerful guy. He's going to get off that rower really quickly.
Right.
You know?
Like, so it's just, yeah, so I think that, like, that whole thing, and then, you know, that whole thing even just breeds, like a, then you have this toxic behavior that then breeds, like, toxic culture.
Mm-hmm.
So then, we were looking at the culture. It wasn't ever about the community. It wasn't ever about these, like, I want to say this the best way I can. Maybe this gets cut out. It wasn't ever about the people in the community.
Right.
It was about the culture that was being cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
So making those changes to change the culture, and then, like, as residual, then you get the community aspect that you want. But there was just a community that was, like, toxic, and it's like we needed to continue to just shift it. And it's like we don't want... You don't want, like, well, there's no need to say that. You just want the culture to be something that you believe in. And so, you know, Sugar Wad was one of those things that...
was perpetuating a culture that
it
was
huge. Because even before then, it was like, we took the weights away and we're not prescribing weights. And it's like, you know, back then it's like RX and scale, and it's like, you know, we went through this whole shift, and it was like basically a 2-year deal to get to where we are now.
It's like it feels so long ago, but also not at the same time.
Yeah,
I remember so much pushback from each thing too.
Yes,
like, got rid of the weights,
everything.
Pushback, got rid of the you know, entering pushback, got rid of Sugar Wad entirely.
Everything.
Pushback.
Everything had pushback. And so, like, now we just have this culture. We have these workouts that are our own. This is the only place that you can get build, power, grind and get this style of workout is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I said with Brad is, like, no one can really say what we do because they've never actually done it.
Yeah.
You can say you think this is what they're doing, and I think that this is, like, kind of what it is. But unless you come to build, power, grind for some time, you're really not going to actually get what we do. It's the only place you can get it.
Well, something else about build, power, grind that's just so, like, gives me chills all the time, too, is that, you know, you see, I don't know, just take a movement, like a snatch, for instance. You're not going to see somebody out in the world doing a snatch at any point.
No.
But in here, you know, they're doing movements that they will see, like,
yes,
outside of this gym.
100%.
And preparing them for that, like you were saying earlier, this is to supplement their life and complement their life, mm-hmm, not
to be
over
their life.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think for that sure was, like, where I was, and it was, like, everything. And it's, you know, another thing that's interesting is whenever we changed to build, power, grind, the cancellation thing,
yes,
it was like we wanted cancellations. We needed cancellations so that we knew.
Which that was hard, too. I mean,
it was.
There were people here that had been here a long
time.
We
didn't want anyone to leave.
Right.
We wanted everyone to say, like, okay, I get it,
mm-hmm,
and this is something that, you know, I feel like would be good for me.
Yeah.
And for some of those people, it was, I don't think I'll enjoy what you're going to do, so I'm going to go do what I enjoy.
Yeah, and it's, and, like, that's fine.
And we had conversations that, yeah, when people would say that to us, we would say, I totally understand. Like, I want you to do something that you do enjoy.
Yes. Because we're not for everyone, and we don't want to be. Yeah.
You know, another thing was, like, I remember, like, even, like, shoes. So I remember looking at shoes and just, like, thinking, like, I want, like, right now, like, 100% of people here wear a certain type of shoe, and I would like that to be more like 10%. Because, I mean, it's a shoe, and, like, people enjoy a certain type of shoe. I enjoy a certain type of shoe. But I just, like, remember thinking, like, if we can get it to where, like, if you have 20 people in class, like, one of them have this type of shoe on, then, like, we're there.
Yeah.
I don't remember why I thought that, but I was like, it's the shoe.
I wouldn't expect anything less, honestly.
Just, like, looking at, like, the,
yeah,
smallest thing.
Yes.
Yeah, Rachel told me not to say that because people might have those shoes. I still have some of those shoes. I still wear them. But, yeah.
Well, that's, like, when we switched to our shoes, everyone was like,
what's those?
Yeah.
Yeah, the barefoot shoe. I like the barefoot shoe. So I guess that kind of covers the whole build, power, grind thing. Now we're at the end of the year. We have our year-end meeting with the staff just to continue to push forward into 2023. And,
well, and something that I would like to say about you and Rachel that I am always thankful for is that where I was before, it was just very, you know, this is the way we do things. We're not, this is how I was taught,
mm-hmm,
you know, very old school. And it's like, well, I mean, there's lots of new information now. There's lots of new techniques. And I love, so one of the first things you said to me whenever I met you in the interview, or at least shortly after, you were like, I reserve the right to change my mind because,
mm-hmm,
I'm always taking in new information. And I always respect that because I feel the same way. I,
mm-hmm,
mean, I may feel one way. I felt this way about CrossFit, you know, at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel a different way about it. I still respect it as a modality of exercise. And if you enjoy it, then I say keep doing it. But I just have, you know, experience and information has changed my mind,
yes,
about it. And I'll continue to change my mind on things.
Yes.
And so will you.
Yes.
And just the fact that I can bounce and you can bounce and Rachel can bounce ideas off of each other.
Yes.
And be an adult about it.
100%.
Like, if you come to me with an idea and I'm like, I don't really like that, you're like, well, why?
Yes. Yes. I think that that's actually something that me and Rachel talked about, and it's like, I don't know if people just think, you know, I don't know what people think, but it's like, if you think that me and Abby have seen eye to eye on 100% of things, or me and Rachel have seen eye to eye 100% of things, it's not true. You know, there's been things that I've come to you and I've said, whether it pertains to a workout or it pertains to some kind of situation that's going on, and, you know, I might have this opinion that I'm playing to you and trying mm-hmm. to get feedback, and it's like, you don't really deliver the response that I want. It's like, you'll say, well, have you thought about this? Or maybe if it's like a person, maybe they're doing this because of this, or, mm-hmm. you know, let's maybe wait and do this, or, you know, I think that that's important, because I don't have the capacity to do, to build something like this mm-hmm. by myself.
Yes. I was telling someone yesterday that you, Rachel, and I have our own strengths and weaknesses, but they complement each other very well.
100%. And it's important. And yeah, like, resources and information are everything. So the one thing that I always want to provide the staff is, like, we always want to provide them the resources that they need to complete the task that we ask them. Mm-hmm. And we want to provide them the information that they need. Mm-hmm. And as we get new information, it's important that we change with the new information, not just be stuck in our ways.
And the support that they need too, because that's something that I also didn't have or didn't experience before, mm-hmm. was just support in ideas and, you know, thought processes and just in general as an employee. But here it's very different. I know I'm technically the head trainer, but I also, like, have a lot of support mm-hmm. from everyone here.
We want that. You know, it's like, it's like I've said, like, we don't, I don't want to be the face, you know, Rachel doesn't want to be the face, like, you don't want to be the face. It's mm-hmm. like, the staff, like, as a whole is the face. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gotten to a point, and it's important to me, like, that message is so important to me, because I don't want people to think of Foundation and immediately think of, like, Josh, mm-hmm. Because it isn't just me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I hope that there's days, you know, right now there's people that go here that don't know that I'm the owner. I don't introduce myself as the owner.
Right.
There's just something feels weird about it when I do that. You know, there's people here that don't know that I'm the owner. They just kind of know me as a trainer, unless they've gotten on the website. I've never told them that, or if somebody else has told them. But I just think that's important. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we move as, like, a collective, and it's not,
yes.
it's just not possible. You know, one thing that we have in our year ends, like, talking about ideas, and it's like, ideas are what moves the gym, and ideas are what allows us to become and be the best in our market, and ideas are what are going to create everything that we do. But we also have to know that ideas go through a process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if I have, like, an idea on the lifestyle and nutrition, it's like, it's got to go through you. It's got to go through Rachel before my idea as the owner can be put in play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just out here like,
all right,
this
here
is what we going to do.
It's what we do now.
Right. And then it's also the important statement in that is that not all ideas will be used.
Yes.
I told Rachel, it ended up being bad, but I was like, I don't like to think of things as good ideas and bad ideas. I like to think of them as used ideas and unused ideas. Because I don't like to think, like, that's a bad idea. Unless it's my idea, then I'm allowed to,
say
that my idea is bad.
Yeah.
But somebody else's idea isn't bad because they have a way of thinking about something. And it's like, well, let's just put this idea here, and let's see, you know, what Rachel and Abby think about this idea. And maybe the idea doesn't work today, and then in the future, it's like, the microphones with the reserving the right and the ideas. Mm-hmm. Last year's staff trip, I think that was the meeting. We were in a hotel, and we were having our meeting about the different gyms that we went to. Mm-hmm. And I think it was at that meeting, I was like, we'll never use microphones at Foundation. Like, it's just not something that I see us doing. I like the organic nature of no microphone. Like, we're just never going to fucking use a microphone. And it's like,
I couldn't live without it now.
I could not run a class without a microphone. There's no way with delivering the music at the volume that we need to and providing the client experience at the level that we do.
I don't know how I fucking did it before.
I don't either.
Like, I'm a pretty soft-spoken person anyway. Yeah.
I was loud, but like, I came in here and just yelled at people every day.
At 5 a.m. too.
Right. 5 a.m. I'm like yelling at people.
And you're like barely awake.
Like drill sergeant yelling. Yeah, I can't imagine it.
It's like the dark ages when we didn't have the microphone for sure.
It is. So yeah, like information resources.
Constantly evolving.
Constantly.
That's what.
Constantly. Like just because there's nothing that I could say today for certain that will be a fact next year. As it pertains to the business. Like, I just can't think of a thing that's like, other than the only thing that's constant is that we will continue mm-hmm. to change.
Yes, exactly. Like,
that's the only thing.
It's like, why would you stay stagnant in this industry at all? Right. I mean, there's still so much we don't know.
Yeah.
And still so much that we're learning.
Like, this small, like, boutique fitness thing is, like, so new mm-hmm. in the terms of, like, fitness.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like Lululemon is just now getting into like online fitness and they're mm-hmm. a huge brand. It's like, this is early for all of this. Like it's early.
Yes.
Just constantly changing.
Which I love. Needs to happen.
Yes. Do you have anything else you want to wrap up with?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we're done.
All right.
I don't have like an intro or an outro.
We need to get some music.
I should put
like
some
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he's got like a whole thing. Does he talk at the beginning of his?
I don't think so. I think he just like